Well, thank you for your faithful giving of God's tithes and your offerings today. We had a great time yesterday. We got in some cars and drove around Morris and prayed for possibly your neighbors, and came back and had a lunch and enjoyed a Christian movie. It was great. Good fellowship, but keep praying for your neighbors. Keep praying for those who need Jesus. Amen? Well, we are in a year-long theme titled Jesus Overall, and that is to declare that Jesus overall, over everything in our lives, over our money, over what matters in life, over death itself, and so much more. We began a new sermon series last Sunday, Jesus Over Temptation, and each of these temptations of Jesus reveals something profound about the trials and about the difficulties that we all face in our lives. Jesus, being fully God, being fully man, he must experience the temptations that we all face. But as we know, he never sinned. Last week we looked at the first temptation, and that was to be relevant. To be relevant. Satan tempted Jesus to do something to show the world that he was relevant, but at the cost of being disobedient to his Father. You see, when struggles and things come into our life and temptation, we will quickly find out whether or not our identity is rooted in our performance and our achievements, or our identity will be in who Jesus and the Word of God says we are. It's either or. When temptation comes, and it will come, our choice will be to try to prove our worth or stand on who we are in Christ. You see, only God can give us our identity, our worth, and our value. Only God. So defeat the temptation to be relevant by meditating on God's word and accept that God's love and identity for you and for me, what he says. You know, being a pastor, a preacher of the gospel, I often feel the pressure to say something that will, you know, make the hearers go, right? Something worth writing down, to have an influence in someone's life, the pressure of doing or saying something that will get people talking or attract more people to Peace Chapel, the pressure to be inspirational, to be original, to be entertaining, you know, so you come and watch this show. This pressure to be different or to be unique, to say and doing something that no one else has ever said or done before. Oh, that was good, Pastor Spence. Wow, I'm going to write that down. There's a pressure. I believe one of the greatest fears is that we are ordinary. I believe one of our greatest fears is that we are ordinary. The fear that our lives are not very special, just plain, just monotonous. You know, many young people dream of being famous. In a recent survey, young people's primary career aspiration was to be a social media influencer or a YouTube star. On social media, you see, our ordinary lives can feel unspectacular as we scroll through the endless highlight reels of other people's amazing experiences. Author John Acuff wisely said this: we compare our behind-the-scenes footage with everyone else's highlight reel. We compare the behind-the-scenes footage, our stuff, with everyone else's highlight reels, the best. How true that really is, stoking the fear of being just ordinary. We compare our boring lives, simple lives, with those who seem to have it all. How many times have we minimized our worth by saying, I'm just a mom. I'm just a teacher. I'm just an office worker. I'm just a student. I'm just a retired grandparent. I'm just a fill in the blank for you. When we face adversity in our lives, we can feel pressured to do something extraordinary, to escape our circumstances, the pressure to do and say something, a pressure to prove that we have it all together, even a pressure to come to church, smile, worship, pray, but inside we're struggling big time. We want others to think that we're okay, but honestly, we're drowning. So my message title in this series, Jesus Over Temptation, is to be spectacular. To be spectacular. If you were here last week, that there was a holy moment between Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. Jesus then was immediately led by the Spirit into the desert, which was a dangerous and barren wasteland. And while there, he was with the wild animals, and Jesus was tempted, and he was tested by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted, and naturally, he was hungry. And that's when the tempter, that's when the devil comes in and says, if you're really God's son, turn these stones into bread and satisfy your hunger. Prove your worth. Prove your value. Prove that you are relevant. Well, Jesus responds with the word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus used Scripture to defeat and overcome Satan. So this is where we pick up the story, and the second temptation is found in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. So immediately after that temptation, Jesus, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil was persistent. Jesus won the first round, but Satan had another trick up his sleeve. He takes Jesus to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. There he lays out his next temptation for Jesus. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Again, Satan is attacking the identity of Jesus with this second temptation about casting doubt. If you are the Son of God. Now, if you stop and think about it, remember, Satan did that very same thing to Eve back in the Garden of Eden with the very same tactic. Did God really say? Did God really say that? Understand, Satan is always casting doubt. He's always casting doubt. If you are the Son of God, jump off. Throw yourself down. Jump off and prove that you are the Son of God. Then the devil recites Scripture by quoting Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Satan is quoting Scripture to Jesus. Believe it or not, this morning, your enemy, Satan, knows the Word of God. He knows it. But as usual, because he's good at it, Satan twisted it and manipulated this Scripture verse. He didn't use it correctly in context. One commentator said this, yes, it's true, God's angels will protect us, but we can't use this promise to demand protection from God in situations where we are not doing his will. God, your word says that your angels will protect me, so I can't get hurt, so God, you won't mind if I drive 120 miles an hour on this winding road at night in the fog. God, will you protect me? Would you protect my mind if, as I live my life recklessly, abusing my mind and my body, living however I want to? No, that is not God's will for you. It's putting God to the test. In essence, Satan was telling Jesus, hey, grab their attention. Get their admiration. Turn your divinity into a sideshow. wow and amaze the people. Show them a great performance with miraculous signs and wonders. Everyone then will see you as Lord, and they can, and you can gain their praise and you can gain their applause. This was the temptation that Satan was throwing at Jesus. And this temptation was for Jesus' mind. Jesus knew this temptation wasn't his Father's will. You know, to go outside, to go around God's will was to test God, his Father. So Jesus, once again, responds to Satan with Scripture, the truth. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 this time, verse 16, when he said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Never test. Don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't provoke or try his patience. This passage is in Deuteronomy refers to the time when the Jewish people in the desert demanded a sign of God's presence. "We want a sign that you're with us. Show us a sign." Jesus wasn't going to tempt or test God by demanding that God, his Father, use a miraculous sign to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. He wasn't going to test that. You see, Jesus wasn't sent to the world to be an earthly king. He was sent to suffer and die for our sins. The next time he comes, guess what? He is going to be the Lord and King of this earth. But Jesus came to suffer and die for your sins and mine. This is why it's imperative that Jesus reject this temptation of Satan's. Jesus was tempted to be spectacular. You see, this temptation is for you to be spectacular, to be admired, to be seen as super spiritual, and to want the applause of others. In essence, again, it's to not be ordinary, not be plain, not be boring, but be spectacular. The temptation is to wow everybody. And giving in to this temptation is to go outside or around God's will. How do you know God's will? How do you know God's will? It's found in God's Word. It's demanding that God prove himself to you by answering your need your way, or proving himself by performing a miracle. It's demanding, "God, you have to answer my prayer my way. God, you have to show up and do a miracle to prove yourself to me." But what if God is calling you to be faithful and to endure adversity instead of trying to be spectacular? Let me ask that again. What if God is calling you to be faithful, to endure that adversity instead of trying to be spectacular and do something to change the situation? Instead of demanding God to do what you ask, even if it's outside his will. I mentioned this last week. Remember, God uses adversity to make you more like Jesus. Nobody likes to hear that. Don't shoot the messenger, right? God uses adversity to make you more like Jesus. No doubt this morning you've been through some challenging seasons in life. Maybe you're in one right now. And you've prayed for a miracle, or you've prayed for God to step into your situation, for God to show up in your life, and kind of secretly you want God to amaze everyone around you what God is doing in your life. What God often does instead of a miracle, an amazing miracle, he provides the daily strength to get through the day. God often, instead of just an amazing miracle, he provides the daily strength to get through the day. No drama, no fanfare, no miracle, just quiet faithfulness. God is calling you and me to be faithful, to endure this adversity. Are you going through adversity right now? Sometimes you will be tempted to choose between being spectacular and being faithful. Well, what did Jesus choose? Jesus chose to be faithful to his Father over the spectacular display of Satan's temptation. Just throw yourself down and the angels will catch you, and everybody be like, amazing, amazing. Jesus said, nah, I'm going to be faithful to my Father. Jesus chose the ordinary instead of the spectacular. There's a lot of Christians that believe that it's those mountaintop experiences with God, those spiritual highs from a spiritual retreat or a Christian conference or even a Christian concert, those mountaintop moments, that's when God really moves. That's when I feel God the most. It's only through those big moments that I feel God. Well, those same people, those same Christians tend to be the ones who feel that if the hair in the back of their necks didn't stand up in a church service, well, God didn't show up, that church is dead. And yes, there are times in those moments when we feel deeply connected to God in those mountaintop experiences. I've had them. But listen, real, deep, spiritual maturity happens in ordinary moments of being faithful to God. Yes, God does miracles. Yes, God shows up and blows our minds and does something incredible. Yes, he does that. We welcome that. But real deep spiritual maturity happens in ordinary moments of just being faithful to God. Being faithful to God when nobody sees, in the difficult decision to trust God with your wayward son or daughter, in the decision to trust the Lord in the middle of your fear and your anxiety, to choose to forgive when you want to be bitter, to make the choice to love someone who has wronged you time and time again, to commit to living with integrity before God, even when no one else would notice otherwise. Instead of always looking for the instant miraculous to be spectacular, what if instead you lean into faithfully growing daily? Instead of always looking for the instant miraculous of the spectacular, God, wow me, throw yourself down and show me, and I will worship you, I will applaud you. Instead of that, you lean into faithfully growing daily. No fanfare, nobody applauding you, you're just faithfully growing in the Lord. Well, how did Jesus defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Again, this church, you guys ask such great questions. I don't know. How did Jesus do it? Jesus chose to surrender over the spectacular. Jesus chose to surrender over the spectacular. He submitted his own will to the Father's will. He submitted to the Word of God. Jesus wasn't about to jump off and have God's angels catch him to prove a point to Satan or to be spectacular for the people. He wasn't going to do that. Jesus chose to submit, to surrender to the will of the Father. How else did Jesus defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Jesus trusted the character of God. Jesus trusted the character of his Father. What's the character of God? Well, among other things, God is love. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is merciful. God is gracious, thank the Lord. God is faithfulness. God is compassionate. God is truth. Jesus 100% trusted the character of his Father. He knew that his Father wouldn't pull the rug out from under him. How did they have that kind of relationship? They were in complete unity as one. Jesus trusted the character of God. How else did Jesus defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Jesus didn't test God. He simply trusted him. He didn't test him. He trusted him. He didn't try to go around God's will. He didn't push the boundaries to see how close he could get. No, Jesus simply trusted his Father. He didn't put God to the test. And in studying this week, I came across this question. It's a great question. Where did you plan to be by this point in your life? Where did you plan to be by this point in your life? sit with that question for just a moment. If you're like most people, the answer is not where you're currently at. Nobody sees their lives unfold exactly how they planned it. There are valleys and there are mountain tops and winding roads of decisions and choices and experiences that have brought you to where you are at right now. Church, listen this morning from my heart. When your plans and God's plans are obviously different, you can choose to control your life or you can choose to trust God. When your plans and God's plans are obviously in two different directions, you can choose to control your life or you can choose to trust in God. Trust Him that He has planned for you the better way. Is it easy? No, it's not always easiest. Sometimes it's the most difficult path, but God has a better plan because God can see the end. You can try to control or you can trust or you can love God, but you can't do both. The wisest man to ever live, King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you know it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Not partially, not a little, not even a lot, but with all of your heart. Trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Don't lean on your own insight. Don't rely on what you think and know. Acknowledge Him. Submit to Him. Always let God lead you. Remember the Lord in everything you do. And guess what? If you do that, what will happen? God will clear the road for you to follow. He will make your path smooth. He will make your path straight. He will show you the right way. He will give you success. He will show you the better way. And isn't that really what you really want in your life? Isn't that the deepest longing? That your life has purpose and meaning? Well, my question this morning is, how do you defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Well, the same as Jesus. Like Jesus, you must choose to surrender over the spectacular. You must choose. Submit to your own will to the Father's will. Submit your will to the Word of God from cover to cover. You can't just like a piece of scissors and cut out the parts you don't agree with. And a lot of Christians do that. It takes faith to believe what's in this book. I don't have the secret potion. I have to come before this and trust that God knows best, just like you do. Choose to go all in, not halfway, but complete surrender. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, then He said to this crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You must give up your own way and how you are doing life. Can I just tell you, it's not working. You must choose to surrender it all to follow Jesus. The world doesn't want to hear this. The world says, I want to do it my way. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do with my life. But what they miss is they're trying to control and hold on to that, and they're going to lose their life. Jesus says, surrender to me, and I'll give your life back to you with full measure and blessing. You must choose to surrender it all to follow Jesus. So my question, what do you need to surrender to God today? How do you defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Again, like Jesus, you must trust the character of God. Trust that God is love. God is not 99% love. God is love. He's the definition of love. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. Those things that happen against you that were unfair, God is going to make it right someday. He hasn't forgotten that. He's merciful. He's gracious. God is faithful. He's compassionate. He is truth, and you can trust that. In his own words, Jesus said in John 14:1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Then he says this, trust in God and trust also in me. Believe that you can build your life on God and his word, that your identity is from God alone, that he has a better way for you. You can trust that. How do you defeat the temptation to be spectacular? Well, like Jesus, you must not test God. Simply put your trust and faith in him. If you read the Old Testament, you come across the people of God repenting. Then they returned to their sin. And then they were held as captives by another nation. And then they cried out to God. And then God delivered them. And then and God heard their cry and delivered them. Then they returned back to their sin. And it was just this endless cycle, back and forth. Scripture's clear. Don't use your freedom in Christ as a license to continue to sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, so do you think that we should continue sinning so that God will give us more and more grace? Go ahead and keep on sinning. God will just keep dumping his grace upon you. Just keep on going. No. We died to our old sinful lives, so how can we continue living with sin? In other words, don't live in your sin and expect God to bless your life. Follow Jesus' example and don't test God. That's why the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he convicts us. He also comforts us in our grief. But he's leading us gently back to the heart of God. It's called conviction. The devil, Satan, wants to condemn you. And those are two different things. Well, this is how Jesus defeated the temptation to be spectacular, and this is how you will defeat it as well. Jesus over temptation. Again, if Jesus didn't overcome temptation here in the desert as he faced Satan, then he wouldn't be able to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. If Jesus even said, let me think about that. No, he didn't do that. Even though Jesus was tempted as we are, he was perfect and he was sinless. And thank the Lord for that. He used Scripture to defeat Satan's temptations. Side note, sometimes we think we're strong. I don't need this. When that temptation comes, I got it. You don't. The pride is what's going to cause your downfall. God, I need you. I need you. To be spectacular. Satan tempted Jesus to choose between being spectacular and being faithful. Jesus chose being faithful to his Father. And the moment you make that decision to be faithful to the Father, you're probably not going to have people stand around and go, amazing, you made the right choice. That probably won't ever happen, but you know you made the right choice and God will bless you for it. Jesus chose not to test his Father, but to submit to his character and trust in his dad, his father. A man who was trying to lose weight and decided to test God's will at his favorite bakery. Why are you laughing already? As he drove toward the shop, he prayed, Lord, if it's your will for me to have a dozen donuts, let there be a parking spot by the front door. He later told his friends he knew it was meant to be. A spot finally opened up on his fifth time circling the block. Don't we all do that with God sometimes? Quietly demanding that God give in to our demands and perform a miracle. And we test God. What God often does is instead of an amazing miracle, he provides the daily strength to get through the day. I think that's a great miracle. Choose to be faithful. So here's the call to action for Peace Chapel. Defeat the temptation to be spectacular by surrendering to God's will. trusting God's character by not testing God. Jesus chose to be faithful to his Father over the spectacular display of Satan's temptation. Instead of fearing that we are ordinary, the challenge for us today is to embrace the ordinary path of faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Choose the path that God has set before you, trusting that he is working even when no one else can see it. He's working. He's working behind the scenes. You may not feel it, but God is working in your life. Submit to that. Surrender to that. And I know it's the T word, the trust word. It's difficult sometimes. All you can see is the waves and the storm of what's going on in your life, and God is saying, trust me. Trust me. Instead of feeling the pressure of to always be spectacular, choose the ordinary, choose to be faithful to God and his word. Be like Jesus. And that's why we're here, to be like Jesus. So my questions this morning before we close, what do you need to surrender to God today? Your future? Your marriage, your relationship? What do you need to submit and surrender to the Lord today? What is God calling you to be faithful? What if God is calling you to be faithful and endure adversity instead of trying to be wowed by the Lord? In what ordinary way can you be faithful to Jesus today? What adversity is God asking you to endure, trusting him this week? No doubt you are going through something, some of you. Can you trust him this week? Instead of demanding God do what you ask him to do, if it's outside his will, in what way do you need to submit to him in his way? Defeat the temptation to be spectacular, to be relevant, spectacular. Let's pray.